Well, good morning, everyone.
Good
morning. And what a wonderful morning it is. I always like to introduce myself, even though most of you probably know me by now. My name's Tim. I'm entering my 25th year very, very shortly. I'm 6 foot four and a half. I'm glad that that will be coming up a little bit later. I like my favourite colour. Blue, yeah, we'll go with blue. Good suggestion. I'm easily led. I always like to kind of share an anecdote so you get to know me a little bit more, build up a bit of a rapport with those that you're speaking to. So when we mention height, people often say, oh, you're tall, aren't you? And I go, you're very observant. And when I was about two, my parents took me to the Downs Bible Week. My dad left me outside the caravan playing on the grass with my little toy car, and he came out to find me, he picked me up, and he saw I was clenching my fist, so he opened my fist, and inside the fist were little bits, brown bits, and then he noticed a brown mark by my mouth. And he opened my mouth, and inside my mouth were little brown bits. And he discovered I'd been eating sheep poo. So, I am 4 inches taller than my dad, and I have to put it down to the sheep poo. Good fertilizer. If any of you are sure, I can recommend it. But yeah, that's probably enough about me. Okay. Well, good start. Well, the next thing is, normally for a half-hour talk, I have about 3 pages of A4 notes. This morning, I have 6. So working with Chris must be rubbing off on me. But it's okay. I'm not actually totally sure where we're going to really go this morning. I've kind of prepared 3 things from one passage, and I'm expecting God to help me focus in on them as we go through. So if it's a little disjointed in places, please forgive me. We're going to be looking at Philippians 3, verse 7 to 21, so I'm just going to start by reading all of that out at once. And we're going to look at my first 2 points are marching together and citizens of heaven. So it's kind of within the theme of community that we've been looking at recently. Okay, Philippians 3, 7. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature be of the same mind. If you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have told you of them, and even now I tell you with tears. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds have been set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from there we are expecting a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation so that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Now, I will keep referring to it, so you don't have to remember it all, just in case you're worried. Philippians is a letter that is very, very dear to my heart. I love this letter because it's warm, it's friendly, but it's still full of challenges. And also the context that Paul is writing into in Philippi is actually bears a lot of kind of similarities with our culture today. It was quite an affluent culture. People felt quite safe in their lives. And so when Paul writes something into a context that's similar to ours, we need to take it seriously. Okay, so the first point. Philippians 3:14-16. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind, and if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. And this is it. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. While this is quite a good translation, as in it makes sense in the English and it's short, it's nice and concise, it doesn't quite bring the pictures that the Greek word contains. That those two words, hold fast, are one Greek word, which is stoikeo, which means, literally, it was used in the military sense, to march. March together, keep in step, is what it means. So when Paul says, only let us hold fast, he's saying, only let us march together, only let us keep in step. Let's all go with one accord like the soldiers. Now, Paul had spent some time in Philippi, and he would have probably, I like to picture things in my mind, I can't say this for sure, but I'm sure he sat there in Philippi, which was on this road called the Via Ignatia, which is a real trade route, and it was also a military route. Troops used to march up and down it all the time. And I can really easily picture him sat there watching the troops go by. He's remembering, as he's writing this letter, he's remembering his time in Philippi, watching the troops, because it was a military post as well, marching up and down the road, and he's thinking, this is a picture that the Philippians will really get. They'll really understand this, because they see it every day. He's encouraging us to walk together, to keep step, to stick together. Paul is trying to say to the Philippians that they need to cultivate a discipline of sticking together. It's like the discipline of soldiers who practice the discipline of keeping in step and marching. Now, why is Paul telling them to do this? Paul often uses military language in his letters. In Ephesians, he's got the armour of God. It's quite a key metaphor that Paul uses all the time. And he uses it because he recognises that we're in a war. Satan is leading a rebellion against God, and we've been caught up in that. To get through it, to keep pressing on, as Paul is encouraging the Philippians to, much like any human war, we need to be disciplined. We need to stick together. Without it, we'll get picked off. Troops get picked off in war if they don't stay disciplined. Paul wants the Philippian church to come through safely. He wants them to have the biggest impact that they can for the gospel, and he knows that in order to do this, they need to stick together. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen the film that's in the cinema recently, the 300. If you're a bit weak-stomached, I wouldn't recommend it. And it is a bit like, it's all right, but it's a bit like a computer game, the storyline. But they use this this military tactic called the phalanx, where they lock their shields together and they look out for the person on their left. And it's a wonderful picture of how discipline and tactics will help people come through. They are one of the most legendary fighting forces in history. The Romans copied them. A lot of you will know from stuff you did at school that Romans linked their shields together as a form of protection. And Paul... Why are you laughing, Dave? Why are you laughing, Dave? Noise outside. You're not laughing at me, then? No, that's good. Okay. Right, I just needed to know, because obviously my self-esteem so it was quite low. So they fought together. They looked out for each other as they were fighting. They didn't go off wildly, and that's why the Romans particularly managed to capture so much of the world. They fought together, whereas all the other people, they would just run off wildly. Now, you stick a Roman soldier in a ring with a Celt, he's got no chance. But if you stick an army of Celts against an army of Roman soldiers, the Celts have no chance, because the Roman soldiers, they stick together. They know how to stick together. So how do we march together as church? Obviously, we're not soldiers. I don't see very many of you wearing helmets or carrying swords or guns, which is good. So we, firstly, most importantly, we determine to commit ourselves to each other, to relationship, to sticking together, to looking out for each other, to supporting each other. We do what Jesus said. Thanks, Dave. We do what Jesus said, and we treat each other like we would like to be treated. We don't avoid being bad to each other. We treat each other how we would like to be treated. It's not easy. We can't do it without Jesus' example, without his help. But he will help us if we really want to. Secondly, we need to try to stay single-minded about pressing on, about pressing into God, about lifting up God's name wherever we're going. Not letting ourselves get distracted. Distraction's not an option for a soldier. If a soldier gets distracted, he gets killed. But it might not just be him that gets killed. It may have repercussions for the rest of his unit. Thirdly, we look for good examples to follow. In Philippians 3:17, Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us." Follow those who follow Christ. Follow those who follow Christ. If you're not sure what to do, look for someone who looks like they do. Get encouragement, get help. As a child imitates their parents in order to grow up and mature, we need to imitate those who are a bit more mature than us. We need to look for fathers and mothers, spiritual fathers and mothers, that will lead us further into the things of God. And how do we find them? Well, we test them by their fruit. We don't just look for people who are confident, who look like they have it all right. We look for the fruit in their lives. And it's really, really important that we do find those people that we can look up to, that will help us reach maturity. Fourthly, we try to stay motivated by Jesus and his love for us. Not our own motives and self-promotion. Making Jesus glory our goal and living to please him. It will keep us committed to each other. It will keep us committed to him. We need to stay motivated by Jesus. I'll come back to that later. Okay, second kind of stream for today, being citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:17-20. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example that you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's what Paul is telling us. The King James Version says, we are a colony of heaven. It translates that verse, we are a colony of heaven. I really like that picture. It's saying we're supposed to be a heavenly community. The concept of citizenship would have been a really important one for the Philippians, as Philippi was itself a Roman colony. It was like a little bit of Rome in Asia. Philippi was filled with Roman citizens, and Roman citizenship entitled you to the protection of Roman law. If you weren't a citizen, you were considered to be outside the law. So if I, as a Roman citizen, brutally murdered someone, one of you, and you weren't a Roman citizen, it wouldn't particularly matter. It might be looked down upon, but I wouldn't necessarily be punished. Only men were allowed to become citizens. And it came with elevated status, the right to vote, a certain amount of security because you had the protection of the law, and the right of appeal to Caesar in Rome, which meant that if you're a Roman citizen, you could have your grievance sorted out by Caesar. And it would mean travelling to Rome, but it's quite a big thing. There are a few ways to gain Roman citizenship, but the main two, the most common ways, were by birth. If your father was a Roman citizen, it would be quite likely that he would pass it on to you. And on the completion of 25 years military service. And people would serve for 25 years just to attain their citizenship. That would be their main aim of joining the Roman army, would be to become a Roman citizen. Because it was so worth them investing those 25 years. Now, Paul uses the term heavenly citizenship as an inclusive term for all of those who are in Christ. Where Roman citizenship was just for a few, heavenly citizenship is available to everyone. Paul reminds the members of the Philippian church of their heavenly citizenship. Now, as he's saying this, different people would have heard different things. The Philippian church is quite diverse. We know this from the account of when the church was set up in Acts 16. And it would likely have included Roman citizens, traders, as Philippi was on a major trade route, slaves, as most Roman citizens and households would have had slaves, freed people to ex-slaves, people who had either bought their freedom or been given it, Jews, local people, and then many other nationalities. So when Paul uses the term, our citizenship is in heaven, he immediately levels the playing field, stating that there's no partiality in Christ, there's no order in church, there's no hierarchy. We're all citizens, all covered by God, all protected by God. And he's also saying that there's no earthly privilege to be carried into the church. And he's also saying that nothing we have on earth, as we read before, can be compared to what we have in Christ. Citizenship gives to the individual an ownership, protection, authority, and a sense of value. We're all citizens of heaven. We all have a right to protection from God, from each other. We have a level of authority that Jesus has given us. By being made citizens, we're given value. And we also have ownership in everything that goes on in this, our body, in the church worldwide. Everything that God's doing, we're part of. We have an ownership because we're all part of one city. We're all part of one place. When Paul talks about heavenly citizenship, he's also reminding people of their place and their status. Slaves in the church wouldn't have had a very high status in society, but in the church it doesn't matter. Roman citizens would have had a high place in society. In the church it doesn't matter, we're all the same. We're all the same. He's lifting their eyes to heaven. He's mentioning that they're citizens of heaven, not just citizens, not just part of one body, but citizens of heaven. He's lifting their eyes, he's lifting their gaze. So often we get distracted, don't we, by things that are going on around us. It's easy to get caught up in things that are not actually that important. I mean, we do have to live our lives, but we should not let our lives distract us from the things of heaven, the things that God has for us, the things that God is wanting to do through and with us. Let's never let those things down here take our gaze off Jesus. We'll get lost otherwise. Now, there's a very real tension between focusing on heaven and cleaning the house, washing the car, getting the tea cooked. And I'm not trying to make light of that at all. The challenge is to do those things, to do them well, to enjoy them, but to invite Jesus into them. There isn't anything you can do where you can't be having a conversation with Jesus at the same time. You can't be asking him something. Where you can't, you can be cooking the tea and praying. You can be cooking the tea and asking Jesus what he's got coming up for you in the next few days. It's just keeping our eyes lifted up, our gaze on heaven. Now, just like the Philippians, it's our job to show people what priorities heaven has. The church is supposed to be, like Philippi was part of the Roman colony, it was a little piece of Rome in Asia. We're supposed to be a little piece of heaven on earth. If we don't live as citizens of heaven, showing people what God is like, what chance do other people have? Why should they bother? If we're not demonstrating what God is really like, what chance do the people around us have of getting to know and meet him? We need to be showing his love, his goodness, his justice, his mercy, hopefully his power. John 17:20-21. I ask not only on behalf of these, the disciples, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. If we want to show the world what Jesus is like, we have to live like citizens of heaven. We have to march together. We have to stick together. As you are in me, I am in you, may they also be in us. Jesus is wanting us to get caught up into that life that he and the Father share with the Holy Spirit, that we might be right in the midst of all of that. And then, as we live that, as we stick together, as we live in that life, our words, the things that we say and do, become so much more powerful. They come with so much more reality, because people can see the way we're living. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. The biggest battle's in the mind. We all face challenges outside of the mind, but the biggest battle is in the mind. God wants to help us think differently. He wants to help us be transformed as he renews our minds. He wants to help us think heavenly thoughts. He wants to help us think heavenly thoughts. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. That's what it says in Proverbs. And from the heart speaks the mouth. From the overflow of the heart speaks the mouth. God wants us to help us think differently. Help us think his thoughts. Get on his wavelength. Now, how do we do all of this? It's fine to say it, but how do we do all of it? We need to stay motivated by Jesus. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. This motivation is not something that we can just work up in ourselves. It kind of seems all well and good for Paul to say that. He's seen amazing things happen. He's been rescued from shipwrecks, from prison. So we might think, well, God, if you'd done that for me, maybe it would be a bit more easy to think like that. But actually, we've all been set free. God has helped us, all of us, overcome challenges. It comes from knowing Jesus. That motivation comes from spending time with him, from knowing what he's really like. For investing time in study and prayer, yes, but just wanting to be close to him, inviting him in to your day. And we should be continually inviting him further and further into our lives. Growing with Jesus never stops, and there's never one level that you can reach. It goes on and on and on and on. Deeper, deeper and deeper and deeper. Remembering for what he has done for us is important too. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own, is what Paul says. The fact that he was important to Jesus and that he knew he was important to Jesus motivated him. And it should motivate us too. I mean, husbands and wives, I'm not married, but I'm sure that the fact that you know you're valuable to someone motivates you. You see it in kids all the time. The fact that they know they're valuable to their parents actually motivates them to do stuff for their parents, bringing them a leaf or a feather that they found outside. Because they know they're valued, it motivates them. Now, it's a verse that I've written down, not a verse, it's a chorus, and some of you will know it. I'm not going to sing it, you'll be glad to know. it's this, I'm just going to read it out. Cast your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'm just going to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for all that you've done for us. Help us, Lord, to commit ourselves to one another, to staying in relationship, even when it's tough. Help us to tough it out, Lord. Give us the strength and maturity to treat each other as we would like to be treated. Help us, Lord Jesus, to stand together, to look out for one another, to love each other as you've commanded, as you long to see us do. Lord, help us grasp what it really means to be a citizen of heaven, what it really means to display what heaven is like on earth. Lord, help us here in River to be a little bit of heaven on earth. Help people to come. Help us to make people feel safe and welcome when they come. Jesus, help us to keep our eyes focused on you. Help us to stay motivated by the fact that you are for us, not against us. Help us to remember the things that you've done, the challenges that you've helped us overcome individually, the fact that you've set us free from so much, Lord Jesus, as we were thinking about last week at Easter. Lord, help us to mine the depths of your glory. Help us to commit ourselves to going deeper and deeper and deeper with you. And I just want to pray, Lord Jesus, for each one of us here this morning, that we might go out and enjoy the day with you. That we might enjoy your glorious creation in the sun, bathed in sunlight, Lord, but that we might enjoy it in your fellowship. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you are, for all that you've done, for all that you've promised. So what's God saying to us today? Press on. Press on into him. Press on together. Press on individually. Look out for each other. You're a citizen of heaven. You've got the protection of God. So go for it. Look to be that little bit of heaven on earth. Look to see all that God has. Look to display who God is to your friends. Now, there are many ways of doing that. I'm not going to go into them. That's probably another preach. But just be encouraged today. God's with you. God's given you a citizenship. He's given you some guidelines as well. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. We can do it. We can do it. Thank you very much.